as discussed in the Gemara and Brachos. Okay, everyone got a chance to go through the basic Gemara and some of the Mefarshim here? Yeah, okay, so let's discuss it together quickly, and then we'll see if we could use some of this newfound information to explain the Raiva, or any of the Shitas for that matter. Okay, we volunteer to read a little bit of the Gemara and Brachos. Gemara and Brachos, and Daf Vav Amud Beis. Vav Amud Beis. Anyone? Avi Markowitz, you want to do it? It's the Gemara on this sheet. First sheet?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, the first one at the beginning. You don't have to do the whole thing. We'll do, we'll just get the basic idea out of the way. Good. So far, so good. What? Who is it? Well, there's a comma there, but what's before the comma?
Anyone that benefits from the Suda, the Chazan.
Yeah, but what? Nam Samcho.
Oh, right,
enjoy
it. Does not rejoice.
He ain't a misamcho. What does mean?
Does not rejoice.
He's not misamech oto, misamcho. He's not misamech the chasan.
So he's not rejoicing.
He doesn't do anything to make him besimcha.
Okay. Over the chamisha kolos.
Chamisha kolos.
Kolos.
Right, he's over the chamisha kolos.
He's
right, so over, what does the lashon of over mean?
Transgress.
Good. Violation, transgression, some type of, you know, you ever see the lashon of aver hibiyado? It's all the same shorish. So some form of violation. When is there a violation? If a person is nehene misudas chalson, veino misamcha. That doesn't mean that if he goes to the meal and he says, "I didn't really enjoy the meal. Right? It wasn't a tasty meal. It wasn't a good meal. I was here. I ate the 3-course meal, but I didn't really like it. Food was cold, or I didn't care for it." That's not what it means by nana. And nana means he partook of it. Usually, nana means he enjoyed it. In this case, he means he enjoyed it in the, you know, more general sense. He partook of it.
Shenemar.
Okay, we don't have to go through the whole citation of the Pesukim, but the Gemara cites the Pesuk in Yirmiyah, where you see the kolos all mentioned. On the flip side, the Gemara says on the second line, v'imisamcho, I mean, it's a famous Pesuk, right? Kol sasam, kol simcha, v'chule, that whole Pesuk. Then the Gemara says, okay, what happens if he does misameyachim, if he does the right thing?
Ma shikara.
Ma?
Shikara. Shafra.
Ma schara. What's schar? Reward. What's his reward? What does he get? You tell me if he doesn't do this, he's doing something wrong. If he does do it, apparently it's the right thing. So what does he get from it?
Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi zoche l'Torah shenasna v'chamisha kolos.
He's zochet to Torah, which was given with chamisha kolos. And then the Gemara, you know, goes on to describe what the kolos are with which the Torah was given. Right, the rest of the discussion here is not so pertinent to our sugya, but then the Gemara has different shitas that are listed. I'll tell you one second. Listed here as to what else he might be zochet to. It's like he brought the carbon todah. It's like you were boneh. Churvos Yerushalayim. Okay, all good things. They're all good things that are said about you or that are attributed to you if you, in fact, were Mesameach, the Chasam. Do you want to go upstairs and just see if those two guys are...
Sure.
If you don't, do you mind? Do you know where they are? You don't have to sojourn there. I'll just tell them that we're looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah, give them a quick question.
Yeah, that's it, quick. Okay.
What is it?
Yes. Zoche, what does zoche mean? To merit. Loshon zechus, to be zoche, to merit. So just Rashi, very quickly, over b'chamisha kolos, Rashi says, what does it mean you're over b'chamisha kolos? You're mezalzel. What does mezalzel mean?
Disrespect.
Good. Mezalzel means you disgrace, you show disrespect to, mezalzel b'chamisha kolos, shebirich ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mevorech Klal Yisrael with these different kolos, and by going and being nene from the Suda, but not being mesameach the chasan, you're showing that these kolos are not significant. You're showing a lack of respect towards the chamisha kolos. Again, that idea needs to be further understood. What's the halachic application of this Gemara? What does it mean from a halachic perspective? A person goes to the Suda and he's not mesameach, so he's over the chamisha kolos. Okay, what does that mean? What does it mean that I'm not mesameach the chasan? And what does it mean that I'm over b'chamisha kolos? Alright? That's the question. What exactly is the chiyuv to be mesameach the chasan and kala? Remember the Ravid says this guy is not oseik b'mitzvah. So what does that mean? We want to understand what is the mitzvah and who does it apply to? That's the question on the floor. What is the mitzvah to be mesameach chasan and kala? And who does it apply to? Alright? So look at this makna. The makna is an achron on Kiddushin. And he's also the author of the Hafla on Ksubis. The makna is a very nice explanation as to what the Gemara means over here. Did everyone get through this? Got through the makna? Okay, good.
I'm feeling well and kind of studying for a big test.
Okay. So someone, thank you. Someone want to read the makna?
Yeah.
Gil, you want to give it a try? I'm sorry, you had a question before?
No, it was been, the same
since been answered?
Actually,
has it been answered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Zocha, like zochus, the word zochus, yeah, which is a noun, merit. Zocha is the verb form of zochus. Okay, Gil, take it away.
Mitzvah is sameach chasam v'kala v'lir.
I'm sorry.
Mitzvah is sameach chasam v'kala. It's a mitzvah to make them happy. V'lir kov lifneim, and to dance in front of them.
Good.
Amr b'gmara debrochos staff vav on beis. Kol hanenem yisudas chasam ve'ino mesamcho over behe kolos. Anybody who is at the suuda and does not bring simcha to the chasam kala is over in the five kolos.
Now he's about to ask a question or answer a question that he didn't really fully express, but it's something that's bothering him in the Gemara's formulation. So let's see what he says.
Af de mitzvah hi afilu al misha'eno nene.
Stop. So he said the Gemara's lashon is what? Kol hanene.
Yeah.
And it says that even though what? Even though really it's a mitzvah.
Even on people who aren't nene.
Right. So that line is very important. That line in and of itself is very important. There is a mitzvah. Keep that in mind when we get to the Beis Shmuel. But according to the Makna, even Misha Eino Nana, even someone who doesn't necessarily Nana from the Suda, doesn't go to a Suda, he still on some level has a Chiyuv, has a mitzvah. Let's use the term mitzvah because that's the term that the Makna is using. Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for him to be Sameach L'Chasan and Kala. Okay? And what's the Lashon of Over? Second question. So the first question is, why are you specifically singling out the person who's Nana from the Suda? If even people that are not nene from the Suda are charged with this mitzvah of being mesameach the chasan and kala, that's question number one. Question number two is, why are you using the language of over? What does over mean? Over means, as we said before, there's a violation. It's just transgression. What's the aveira? What iser is it? Right? Okay. So what is it? So those are two questions.
Yeah.
Two questions. Did everyone catch that? He's bothered by two things in the formulation of the Gemara. One is, why are you telling me only the nehenef from the Suda, when clearly the mitzvah extends to even people that are not nehenef from the Suda? Question number one. Question number two, why is the Gemara formulated in terms of Avera? There's an Avera here. What Avera is there, and why are you speaking only about the nehenef from the Suda? Okay?
How does it extend to people who are not
nehenef? He doesn't say. He doesn't say that.
Meaning, if you're not invited, you're still obligated to...
No, he's saying there still is a mitzvah on some level, which he's not addressing here. You're right. He doesn't say what that is, but it's almost as though he takes it for granted that there is a mitzvah, even on people that don't come to a Suda, to be Mesameach Chasan and Kala. We don't know what that is here. We'll have to see maybe what others say about that. But he's not getting into that.
I thought that's what you said, that you may not, even if you're not, I mean, you're obligated to be Sameach.
That's all he's saying. He said there's a mitzvah fil misha eino nana. Even a guy who doesn't go to the suda, he's still obligated.
So that's what he's saying, no?
Yeah, but I thought you were asking me in what way. I thought you asked me how does he do it.
No. Just that he is obligated.
So on some level, this person is, it's a mitzvah. He doesn't say obligated, it's a mitzvah. Okay.
Nira da kavana bezeh, al pi ma shekasa beksubos, yumakam mevarach kulhu. On the first day, you should say all of them.
Good, all of what?
All of the seven brachos.
Excellent. Good.
Mikar ve'elech, and from here on, e'ika panim chadashos, if there is a new face at the suda.
Good.
Mevarach kulhu, you say all of them again. Ve'im lo, asher bara.
That's it.
If not, then you say the bracha of asher bara.
Excellent. That's the halach l'maisa as well, that if you have a suda for the chasan and kal, if there's panim chadashos, then you'll make the shavu brachos. If not, you'll make asher bara. Okay. So now he's going to explain. So what does that have to do with Argamar and Brachos? What does it have to do with Argamar and Brachos? So simply, on a simple level, apparently what the Machna is saying is that this idea of Panim Chadashos ramping up the Brachos, right, that speaks to the Gemara here. Meaning, if I have the same Suda, I have the same suda. We go to a restaurant, and we go to the Chassan Kala's house. Let's make it as best as possible. Go to the Chassan Kala's house. We have a minyan, but everyone at this suda now, they were all at the wedding. You're gonna only make asher bara. You only make the bench. You'll have a nice suda, but you're only gonna make asher bari piragafen and asher bara. You're not gonna make the full shav brachos. Same meal, same 10 people, plus one other person who wasn't at the chasana. Now you're going to make Sheva Brachos. Okay?
Because of a rush.
But he's saying that it's this fact that you go from 2 to 7 in honor, if you will, of the Panim Chadashos. Panim Chadashos means a new face, person who wasn't previously part of the Simcha. In honor of that Panim Chadashos, you're going to increase the Brachos from 2 to 7. So he says, that's the basis for this Gemara. Now you have to flesh it out. What does that mean? So let's see. Kasav Arash.
Panim Chadashos, Hainu, Shemarvim, Suda, Hasuda, Bishvilam. They're extending the Suda for them.
Right. In other words, the Panim Chadashos, on some level, are people for whom the Suda is being augmented for them. You're adding to the Suda in honor of these Panim Chadashos, or because of these Panim Chadashos. Okay. These are two of the commentaries on Evan Hazer, Chelkas Mechokek and the Base Shmuel. Those are the two commentaries that you'll find on the side of the page.
Simon. Sif Katan Yugimel.
Yeah.
Ksat Poskim.
I'll be honest, I didn't look at the Machna inside. I think there's some typos here. Could be that there's a word kasvu missing here. Kasvu ktsas poskim. Seems like that's missing. But we'll read it in that way. That he's citing ktsas poskim. Ktsas poskim say. Ktsas means some. Some poskim say.
Some poskim say, "Hoel the roi leharbos bechvodo." It's fitting to increase the simcha in for his honor.
Right.
Af shelo harbu mikol, even though they didn't.
Even though they didn't actually make the suit any bigger.
Mikol makom ika simcha yetera. There still is a greater simcha.
Good.
Zayin brachos, and because even though they already said the seven brachos,
so does now this suda warrants really being made greater because of these panim chadashos. And even though you didn't actually do that, you didn't make it any greater than it would have been if you had these 10 people without this additional guy. Nonetheless, there is Simcha Yisera. His presence, right, lends to the potential for greater Simcha insofar as he qualified the Suda as a different type of Suda. You have 10 people that were at the Chasana yesterday, it's a certain kind of Suda. You have 10 people plus the one guy that wasn't there yesterday, the Suda is qualitatively different. There's a different quality to the Suda. Right? Maybe this Suda really should have been a Suda that was different in its nature, even in practice, meaning there should have been more food there, a different food. Even though if you didn't do that, the Suda is still endowed with a certain quality because of the Panim Chadashos. And now, that having been said, yeah.
You mean 9 people, one more is new, making 10?
Well, even that, I'm just saying, it could be 10 plus. Right, that's all separate issue. If you have on Shabbos, you don't need a physical Panim Chadashos. We say that Shabbos provides the same quality to the meal that the Panim Chadashos would have provided. That's true.
Essentially because you're going to make more food?
I don't know if it's because of more food or because of a certain nature to the day that gives the quality to the Suda.
What about Yom?
The Chivon Shekvar Birchu Zayim Brachos B'Shas HaChuppah, even though they already said seven brachos at the time of the Chuppah.
Right, so now he's saying, you already made these brachos. So why are you making the brachos now? The wedding's Sunday night. You made the Zayim Brachos. Now you're having a Suda. Why are you making the brachos again? What's the machayev for those brachos? What's the basis for saying those brachos?
Simchas Chasan. Acher kach besuda, haynu mishum Simchas Chasan.
Simchas Chasan. It's the simcha of the chasan that is machayev those brachos. That's an expression. Those brachos are an expression of the simcha that's being experienced by the chasan. And what creates that simcha?
What creates the simcha is b'masho avav so'adim imo.
What does that mean?
His beloved ones are eating with him.
Right. So the fact that he's now feasting with his chaverim, that creates a certain sense of simcha. And in response to that simcha, he makes these brachos, or these brachos are made. Mm-hmm. Okay.
V'chein besudos acheros.
Bepanim chadashos, right? Any suda that will be held throughout the Zayin Yimei Mishteh with panim chadashos will warrant the recitation of these brachos, reflecting the simcha that is present. Okay, is that clear? Mm-hmm. You make the Zayin brachos under the chuppah. 5 hours later, you bench, and then you're making Zayin brachos all over again. What's the Zayin brachos for? Oh, that's an expression of the simcha of the Simchas Chasan that comes from the fact that he's soed with his chaverim, and so too, any time you have a suda throughout the Zayin Yimei Mishteh with Panim Chadashos, you're going to have the same thing, and Sheva Brachos are going to be appropriate. Haray.
Haray, the kol hey brachos besuda einam ela mishum Simchas Chasan.
Now, which hey brachos is he talking about?
The ones, not the first one, not the last one.
Not Bori Pragafen, and not Asher Bara. It's not the first. It's, I think, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall correctly, Bar Piagofen, when you're benching, is the last.
Those are the two brachas that you would make anyway.
It's first only when you, under the chuppah, it's first. Mm-hmm. At benching, it's the end, right?
Yeah. Those are the two brachas that you would make regardless.
That's right. Even without panim chadashos.
Yeah.
If you're benching in the presence of the chasan and kawa, you're going to have Asher Bar and Bar Piagofen, assuming you have a zimun, right? So you can have Asher Bara and Bara Piagofen. So it's only the five additional brachos that can only be said in the presence of Panim Chadashos. So those five brachos, Einam Elo Mishem Simchas Chasan Ba'anashim Asoa Demimo. Where do those five brachos come from? Oh, those come in response to the Simcha that stems from the Suda
of the new people coming.
Of the Panim Chadashos. So what? So now he's going to say what's the pshat in the Gemara. It's a very nice idea, he's saying. Therefore,
therefore, otan shenagu.
Now see, I don't think it's supposed to be nahagu. I think it's supposed to be nehenu. Again, I just took this from the Bar Ilan. I didn't check the actual sefer on the shelf. If I would have had more time, I would have done that. But I'm assuming there's Nehenu instead of Nahagu, and I'm assuming that there should have been Kasu Ktsas Poskim instead of, this is basically data entry. They're not scans. It's someone typed it all in by hand. So it's subject to human error.
Lakach otan shenagu shenenu chiyuv aleihem, the people who were...
So now he's using lashon chiyuv over here. Yeah. They were nehena.
So therefore, now they're chayuv.
Now there's an obligation on them to do what?
L'sameach chasam v'kala.
Now, since they're there at the meal, they're partaking in this meal, they have a chiyuv to be m'sameach l'chasam v'kala. Okay.
Bishvilam zayin brachos. It's for them that we're saying the seven brachos.
It's because of them, right? It's because of them that we are technically able to say those additional brachos, right? Why are we saying these brachos? Oh, because this is a suda that's marked by simcha. Why is there simcha? Oh, because there's people here that are augmenting the simcha in a way that wouldn't have been possible without them, right? Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be. Good.
Because you would have said that anyway.
So that's what he's explaining what the problem is. That's why he's explaining why the Gemara specifically here addresses the one who's Nene from the Suda and the Lashon of Over. Right? Why? What's the over? What's the avera? Oh, avera, you're causing bracha v'atala. Why is it bracha v'atala? Because these brachas are supposed to be recited as a reaction to the simcha that's engendered by the panim chadashos. But you tell me just the guy just sat there and he didn't do anything to be mesameach them? He's over b'chamisha kolos. He's over b'chamisha kolos. Who? The one that's nene from the suda. The one that comes to the suda and is really the cause for the brachas, but doesn't do anything to cause the brachas. And according to this, his mere presence alone is not a basis for the bracha. It's true, the Panim Chadashos warrant, perhaps, making the Suda bigger, Shiloh, right, to be Marber the Suda for them. What was Lashon LeRosh, the way he cited here? Shemarbim HaSuda B'Shvilam. Shemarbim HaSuda B'Shvilam. But according to this, it's not enough. It's not enough that you made the Suda bigger. They're also supposed to do something. They're supposed to be Mesameach L'Chasan and Kala. Does that mean they're the only people that are supposed to be Mesameach L'Chasan and Kala? No. But they're the only ones that are taken to task for being over in Chamisha Kolos. Right? Let's say a Stama person. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do in terms of being Mesameach L'Chasan and Kala. Are you going to say he's over B'Chamisha Kolos? According to this, no. Because the over B'Chamisha Kolos is specifically when you were the cause of the brachos, when you were the cause of the brachos and you didn't live up to your job description. What's your job description? Oh, you're supposed to cause the brachos to be said. How? By being a sameach. And apparently just by being there and not doing anything, you're not misameach. You sit in the corner and you mind your own business and you wait to leave, you're not being misameach then. Okay?
Question on the fact?
Yeah, question on the fact.
So,
According to this, if you have panim chadashos without you, it sounds like the Makna is only talking about one specific person. He's only talking about the Panu Chadashos. He's only talking about the person who is the linchpin for all the Shavu Brachos. But if you happen to be Stama person, that's, even if you're at the Suda, even if you're Nene from the Suda, right? But you're not the cause of the Shavu Brachos. It's not maybe like you didn't do anything wrong. You have five people that weren't at the Chasa, they all show up, and you're just not such a jovial person. You don't do anything to be Mesameach, but everyone else is. You're right. According to this interpretation, you're not really going to be called to task. You're not over B'chamisha Kolos. You didn't create a situation of Bracha V'Atala because the other people haven't been Panu Chadashos. They're worthy of the Brachos. It's true. It's really a limited case that he's painting here, a limited case that he's describing. Does everyone see that? Okay.
V'chamisha brachos elu tiknu neged chamisha kolos l'kach amru she'or v'heikol.
Right. So he's saying really, it's not that your violation is in terms of the pasuk. It's just that those kolos were the model for the five brachos that we say. Again, this is very novel. Certainly when Rashi says that what the real violation is that you mazalzel the kolos, doesn't sound like Rashi means what he's saying. Right? Again, this is a Charonish approach to the Gemara. It happens to be a very nice idea that he's saying. From a halachic perspective, it's a very nice idea. He's trying to show what's the Avera and why is it all on your head if you're a nene. Let's say you're not a nene. Yeah, you're not a nene. It could still be that you have an obligation or a mitzvah to misameach, but no one's going to call you out. No one's going to say, hey, you're over b'chamisha kolos. How do I know that? Because look at the Gemara. The Gemara only says a nene. Oh, fine. So now I'm a nene. I didn't misameach. So why am I? What am I over on? Just say I didn't do what I'm supposed to do. It wasn't misameach. What's the chamisha kolos? Oh, the avera is that you cause bracha vatala. But Yonah is correct. According to this approach, it's only going to be the one person who would be the panu chadoshos and didn't do his job. If there are other people, right? If no one else was there to act as proper panu chadoshos, you see, maybe at least in his time, they didn't necessarily have big shavu brachos with many people there. It wasn't like this today. Right, historically, they didn't have Shavuot Brachos every day of the week, and they didn't necessarily have 100 people coming to Shavuot Brachos or 50 people coming to Shavuot Brachos. They maybe just had enough to make the Suda. Whatever it is, 10, yeah.
Is this Russia?
That's not to say that you're not doing anything wrong by not being Mesameach the Chasan and Kala. You're still falling short when it comes to the mitzvah to be Mesameach Chasan and Kala. But as far as saying that you did an Isser, as far as saying you were over on something, that we can't say. We could say you didn't properly fulfill the mitzvah of being Mesameach Chasan and Kala. You should have done that. Especially if you're one of the people that were Nana, but even if you're not Nana, it sounds like on some level you're required to be Mahana them, to be Mesameach them. Right? Yes? No? Avi, you with us?
Sounds like a heel on the seaboard.
Well, again, he doesn't really say you who, how, what. You're right. He just says even the people that aren't there are have a mitzvah. So let's see. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Just see how the Shulchan Aruch formulates this and how the Mefarshim understand the halacha. And maybe that will give us a little bit of a better perspective when we try to get back now to the Ravid here.
That was a funny Shulchan Aruch.
Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says, yeah? This is based on a lot of Gemaras.
Mitzvah Sameach Chasan V'Kala V'Lirko L'Faneha.
Yes, that's a good question. Why does it say Mitzvah Sameach Chasan V'Kala V'Lirko L'Faneha? Right?
Dance in front of her.
Dance in front of her. You'd be Sameach Chasan V'Kala, and specifically to dance in front of her. Right? That's strange formulation, yeah? Agreed? Yeah.
And to say that she's pretty and
chasuda. Right, she has good midos, she's pleasant looking.
Should I read the
parentheses? Right, everyone's familiar with that song? Ketzim Raktim of Neakala? That's right, it's not just a song, it comes from the Talmud. It comes from the Talmud.
Even if she's not pretty.
Right, you say that's the machlokas, based on Beishamai. What are you supposed to say? So you say she's not a chasuda, even if you don't think so.
Kind of like
exactly, you're supposed to be, that's a way of being mesameach the chasan. You be mesameach the chasan by telling, wow, what a great shidduch you got. You got such a great woman. Even if you don't necessarily think so, that's it.
This is saying you lie to her. I mean, no, whatever.
We didn't say to her then.
You say it about her. You say it about her.
Basically, the case is...
This version, this Girsa of the Shulchan Aruch says, V'lirko lifnehem. Lifnehem. So lifnehem would mean in front of both of them. Not lifaneha. Lifnehem. Then, V'loma shehi no'e v'chasuda. Afilu inu no'e. Even if she's not so no'e. Okay.
V'matinu
shurabi. One second. So, I'm sorry. Just give me one second.
There's only one letter difference between Lifaneha and Lifnehem.
It's one letter difference, Lifnehem, yeah, but it makes a big difference.
I know, but I'm
yeah.
saying... Like,
sometimes one letter may change the whole meaning.
No, it but I'm saying it could be that they're...
Lifnehem?
Yeah.
It could be that this one that you copied simply, it was a typo or something.
I'm not sure if they had different gear, so... Or,
totally different emphasis.
That's right. Who are you dancing in front of? But the... See, it's interesting. I think it's a Girsa issue, because in the Pischei Tshuva, his Dibur HaMaskil is Velirkod Lefaneha.
Oh, fine.
So there was a different Girsa, apparently. So everyone's bothered by the fact that you're saying something that's not true. Let's say you think she's not Na'eh, but you're going to say it anyway. So look at the Beis Shmuel. I didn't put that Beis Shmuel on the page, but he says, Lomar she Na'eh, afagav dechsiv midvar sheker tirchak, yesh latar etz devar if she Na'eh b'ma'aseha. The preacher says, what it means is you're not saying that she's beautiful necessarily when you don't think so. You're saying really, what it means is she has nice midos. She has beautiful attributes.
That's exactly
that.
Huh?
Or if she doesn't have nice attributes.
That's exactly.
And what if you know her?
That's exactly what the Aruch Shulchan said.
Yeah.
Listen, she's her.
She has such good midos and is so pretty that I never once stated her.
The Chelkas Mechokek says, Lo she'im yish lo mum, yomar she'in lo mum. Let's say, you know, if she has some type of deficiency, a blemish, you don't say she doesn't have it. Right? You can't say an outright lie. Right? What? People say that she walks with a limp? She doesn't walk with a limp. What are you talking about? No, that's outright sheker. You can't say that. Rak yomar stam she'in lo'eh. You just say something in general. She's beautiful. V'chut shel chesed moshech aleha, and she's a righteous person. As opposed to Beis Shama, you say no. You can't say that. You can't even say that. If you don't think she's nice, you have to say no. She's not so schnatzen. You can't say that.
I agree with Beis Shama.
You can't say that.
Something like she's perfect for you.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
That Beis Shama might say you can say that.
Okay. In any event,
if you actually believe that, you can say that.
You guys deserve each other.
In any event, wow, with friends like you, I don't know. So let's do this Beis Shmuel now. The Beis Shmuel says, the Kosev Atur, go ahead, who is reading? Someone, Gil. Kosev Atur.
The Kosev Atur, Kol Hanenem Yisudas Kosev Akala, the Eino Mesamko, that doesn't bring him joy.
Right.
Over behe kolos.
That's the Gemara, good.
The
Prisha. The Prisha was, if I'm not mistaken, the Prisha was a Talmud of the Rama.
Okay. Because of a Prisha, Davka Mishanene.
Davka Mishanene.
Yeah.
Who's this talking about? Who's over behamisha kolos? Mishanene.
The Eno Masamcho.
Who over?
About Misha Eno Sham. Eino over, somebody who isn't there isn't over?
Right, no, it's a statement.
Yeah. I thought it was like a...
No, the preacher is saying, the preacher is of the opinion that the guy who's there and is Nana from the Suda and doesn't do what he's supposed to, he's doing something wrong. But the person who's not there and just doesn't come forward to be Mesameach, he's not doing anything wrong.
He's disagreeing with the preacher.
No, not yet. He just cited the preacher.
No,
so far.
Now he's citing, but okay, yeah.
The next line.
Mihu.
However,
Lashon Haposkim Shekatvu Mitzvah
Lismoach. Mitzvah Lesamei Chasam Vekala.
Yeah.
No, it's the Mechaber's Lashon. Mitzvah Lesamei Chasam Vekala.
Mashma, the actual interpretation is the Mitzvah Sheyelech Lasham Veismach Veismach Otam.
Sounds like from the Mechaber's formulation, Bishmuel is saying that no, it's a positive mandate that people go to be Mesameach L'Chasam and Kala.
Yeah.
It's not only speaking to people that happen to be at the Suda. You okay?
Yeah,
it's not only speaking to people that happen to be at the Suda and, oh, if you're not Mesameach, then you're doing something wrong because you're at the Suda, so you must be Mesameach then. No. Even if you're not at the Suda, apparently you have to be Mesameach then.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that point is significant, especially when we go back to the Raivah. But the Beis Shmuel is saying, basically, machlokas between himself and the preacher. The preacher says, the chiyuv, if you will, of being Mesameach L'Chasam Kala is dafka. Look at the Gemara. Kol ha'nena misudas chasan ve'eino mesamcho. That's who's required to be Mesameach them. Right? It's the one that's nena from the Suda. But if you're not nena from the Suda, maybe there's no chiyuv. Preacher has a nice diuk from the Gemara. But the Beis Shmuel is saying, Maybe you can make that deal from the Gemara, but look at the way all the poskim understood it. Look at the Mechaber's formulation. Mitzvah l'sameach chasam v'kala. Now, what's interesting is that the Gra, when the Gra says, when the Mechaber says, rather, mitzvah l'sameach chasam v'kala, he says, where is that from? Oh, that's from the Gemara in Brachos. He understands that the Machaber statement of mitzvah l'sameach comes from the very Gemara that the Prisho is using as a source to say that it's only applicable to the one that's nana. Everyone with me or no one's with me? No?
I just need that last one.
What I'm saying like this, the because everyone's looking at the Gemara as the stepping off point for this concept of being Mesameh Chasan and Kala. The question is now, who does it speak to? Who is that Gemara addressing? So simple pshat in the Gemara is, it's addressing who? Kohanena, Mesuas Chasan Ve'enu Mesamcha, the one who's there eating the meal.
Right.
Even without the interpretation of the Makna, even without that sort of a novel approach. Forget about that. Simple pshat. Kohanena Mesuas Chasan Ve'enu Mesamcha. So the preacher says, oh, that means the guy was there. At the meal. The other shita holds, the Beis Shmuel says, look at the poskim. Mitzvah l'sameach, chasam v'kala. Mitzvah l'sameach, chasam v'kala. It sounds like a general abstract type of thing. You have to go be mitzvah l'sameach, chasam v'kala.
It's an active thing, yeah.
Not only do you have to suda, but you have a chiyah or an obligation or a mitzvah. You have to, exactly, you have to get up and go. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. Sheyelech l'sham, v'yismach l'sham. Right? You have to do it. It's a, again, we don't know exactly who's included in that.
I forgot Homeland Security.
What's that? The Homeland Security, that's cute. Okay, is everyone clear up until this point? Up until this point, I want to try to get to two last points before we end for today, because I want to be set up for to go back to the Raiva tomorrow. Let's just go through this Aruch HaShulchan quickly, and then I'll read a short interesting tshuva from the 1600s, where the general question of what's included in being Mesameach Chasan and Kala is discussed. All right, so let's take a quick look at the Aruch HaShulchan. Everyone knows that the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm assuming everyone knows, Aruch HaShulchan lived much later than the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, so let's say circa 1500s, and the Beis Shmuel probably later in the 1600s, 1700s. The Aruch HaShulchan lived in the early 1900s. Okay, it's not to be confused with the Shulchan Aruch. Aruch HaShulchan is the father of the Torah Tamima. His name was Rav Yechiel Michal Halevi Epstein. Author of the Aruch HaShulchan. He lived in Novardik. And his son was Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein. He was the author of the Torah Tamima. Torah Tamima is a well-known commentary on the Chumash. Right? Basically what Torah Tamima did was he cited all of the Chazals that pertain to the different psukim in the Chumash, or I don't say all of them, but many of them, and then wrote a little bit of an explanation on them, how they apply to the psukim. The Aruch HaShulchan wrote a halachic work. Right? So in his discussion of this siman in Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Mitzvah gedola l'sameach chasam v'kala, the lirkot bifaneha, the different girsa that we have here in our presentation of the Shulchan Aruch, v'lomar shehi no'a v'chasuda, to say that she's beautiful and righteous, shechut shel chesed moshech aleha, that she has a ribbon of righteousness, a string of righteousness upon her, and even if she's not so na'eh, it's not really sheker. You could say she's beautiful in her deeds. Who's not beautiful in their deeds? And right? She looks na'eh because sometimes she could be not na'eh, but because she's involved in chesed, it makes her look na'eh. Avomhi balas mum, but if she's a real balas mum, if she has a real defect, lo yomash ein ba mum, that's sheker gamor. El yishtok midavar zeh. Don't speak about it. V'chein yishabchuha bedavar na'a sheyesh ba. Find something nice to say about her. Everyone always has something nice. You could say something nice about it. Wow, she's a good dresser. She dresses very nicely. Something nice that's not sheker. Right, she's very compassionate. She's very considerate. Something.
She managed to marry you.
She'ein lecha adam she'ein lo eze maila. There's no such thing as a person who doesn't have something good to say about them, right? You can always find something nice to say about somebody. So you can't say an outright lie. You can't say real sheker. But even if you don't find her attractive, you could still say she's attractive because you could be talking about her deeds. Amru Chazal, this has been cited a few times. I'm sure you saw this Gemara cited. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, Shahaya notel bad shel hadas. They would take a hadas branch, umerakid lifnei hakala, veomer kala na'ev chasuda, veita the bepirki de Rabbi Lazar, lama lo ochlu hakalovim kapo shel Izevel. Everyone knows the story from the Navi that Jezebel, when she was killed. So it says the dogs lapped up her blood, but they didn't eat her hands and her feet. Why? She merited not having those parts of her body eaten by the dogs because she would clap and dance in front of the chasan and kala. V'amru chazal, kol nenem, yisudas chasan, v'ena masamcha, over b'chamisha kolos, umeis, not a good thing. Our Gemara doesn't have that lashon of umeis. The kalasha pogu zebazeh. Then he goes into some of the halachos about if you have two weddings, which one takes precedence, and if you have a wedding and a funeral, which takes precedence, and a wedding and a bris milah. That's not our issue at the moment. But the point being that this is taken very seriously, being mesameach chasan mekala, he's also lashon mitzvah gedola. What are you supposed to do? How do you do this? So the Be'er Sheva, an interesting shiloh, the Be'er Sheva was asked, the Be'er Sheva lived. His name was Risachar Bear Ben Yisrael Laser Parnas Eilenborg, who lived in Poland from around 1550 to 1623. Right, he died in 1623. He learned under Rav Mordechai Yaffe, the Lavush, and the Sma, the Smiras, the Meiras Einayim. And he wrote a number of commentaries himself. He wrote commentaries on the Talmud, and he wrote Tshuvos, which include this Sefer, or included in the Sefer, called the Be'er Sheva. So this was the Shail and Simen Nun. Simen Nun. If you want to hang out for 1 second, I'll run through it quickly, unless you really got to go. Okay. That which we say in the Gemara and Brachos that a person is nena from the Suda but is not misameach them. Mahi. What's the simcha that you have to provide? What exactly do you have to do? He says we have to discuss that. Okay, I'm doing something wrong. But what's expected of me? You invite me for a Sheva Brachos. It's not enough for me to be there and eat my meal. Apparently I gotta do something else. Im rotzel lomar b'yayin, dum yilasimcha amur b'torah, etzel chag. Does it just mean I have to have wine? I have to drink wine to be b'simcha? Right? Like on Yontif, I have a chiv of wine because there's a chiv of simcha. Etzel chag, kedichsiv esamachta b'chagecha, shepirusha b'yayin, like it says in Arvei Pesachim, ain't simcha el b'yayin. Shenem ar b'yayin yismach levavena. Im king kasha, kevin dekamar sudas chasan, mashmasha chasan, hu baha suda. Sounds like it's the chasan's meal. And I'm supposed to do something in the context of the chazan's meal. Okay, eat the behedja perikam deksubis. We perik shol shashachu. Ache kasu harosh varan perikam deksubis. B'shem Rabbein Ephraim, Talmido shal arif. I omar hatana lo tarichna ela kanisna below suda. Ukrove akala bo'u dele oved suda. Kaifinan le dele oved suda. V'chule. Imkain, hachasun misameach la'achirim b'yayin. The chasan, it sounds like the chasan really is the one that should be providing wine for others. V'lo acherim lo. V'achein nir li, the simcha zohi l'samech ha-chasan b'dvarim. He says, I think what it means is that you have to say things. The chasan, it's his meal. Or the kala's family is providing the meal. Someone from the chasan and kala are making the meal, making the suda. What's your job? Not to bring the wine. So he says, what I think it is to be m'samech lem b'dvarim. Umatzatili, he wants to say, I found the Gemara in Parakam of the Brachos. Amar of Ashi, Igra de Behilula Mili. Rashi says, Mili le Samecha Chasim Bidvarim. V'nirli tshedvarim elu heim al das ketzem raktif ne'akala omrim kala na'a v'chasuda. So what does the Gemara say? Ketzad meraktim lefnei hakala. How do you dance in front of the kala? Omrim, you say kala noy v'chasuda. What do you mean? The answer should be you dance like this, you dance like that. Tell me how to. I should dance a jig. I should dance a kazatska. What do you tell me? Ketzad meraktim. How do you dance? You say kala noy v'chasuda. How do you rejoice in front of the chasid and kala? The question is stayed in front of dancing. Ketzad meraktim. Oh. Omrim, you say, kala noy v'chasuda. So apparently, so the Be'er Sheva wants to say that the simcha that you're supposed to provide is in what you say. You say, wow, what a beautiful wife you have. She's so righteous. You're providing simcha for the chasim because chasim now feels very happy that he has such a good shidduch. That's in terms of what you said. So he says, that's a raya, that what you are supposed to do in terms of the simcha is what you say. So if you eat, and then you leave without saying anything to the chasid and kala, then you did something wrong. But if you ate, even though you're not a big party maker, you don't necessarily have to really be the life of the party, but you have to say something nice to the chasid and kala. Wow, this is a really great simcha, it's such a great time. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Mili l'samecha chasim b'dvarim. Right, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Igra debe hilule, mili. Mili means things. Mili l'sameach ha-chasim b'dvarim. To say something. That's the way you provide simcha for the chasim and kala. So now this really lowers the bar, lowers the expectation of what you're supposed to do. What's that?
Good.
Right, because not everybody is a big party maker. But at least according to this approach, it's in terms of, and it's a good raya. This is the Gemara that discusses how you be mesamecha from the chasan kala. Ketzem erakdim lifnei akala, omrim kala no v'chasuda.
Where is that Gemara from?
Yeah, question.
So depending on the hey or the ches or something, whatever it was at the end of the word, you could say.
Lifneihem or lifaneha?
Yeah, and then it's either you have to say to him or to both of them.
Right.
Well, okay. No, if it's both of them, then it's fine. Then you're Yosef, you go to the Chasan. But if it's just Lifaneha, that means that you can't just go over to the Chasan and say something. That means you have to actually go and do something.
No, that's the Mitzvah L'Sameh Chasan Mekala. Mitzvah L'Sameh Chasan Mekala. The Lirka Lifnehem, to dance in front of them. I mean, the way the Mechaber writes it, it's not quite like this Be'er Sheva. The Mechaber is really saying two things. I mean, the Mechaber is saying two things. The Mechaber is saying Mitzvah L'Sameach Chasan Kala, one thing, and Lirka L'Fnehem, and really three things, and then to say Noev Chasuda.
Yeah, he unified.
It's like a list. Yeah. It's a list. He's saying Pshat in the Gemara is when it says Lirkod and to say Noev Chasuda, that's really one thing. It's to provide the Simcha in this way. How do you dance? You dance. You obviously there is dancing involved. But the ikar is what you say, the praise that you give for the chasan and kala, for the kala.
What is noeva
chasan? It's funny, like the way the Be'er Sheva presents it, it sounds like the ikar is the amira, right? It's amar Rav Ashi, igra de behilule mili. Mili l'samei chasan b'dvarim. Ketzam raktam ne'akala, omrim kala noeva chasuda. Now that's the essence. When the Shulchan Aruch Paskin's Lalacha, he says, Mitzvah Sameach Chasan Mekala, and to Lirko Lefneim. It sounds like dancing is part of the formulation. It's part of the equation.
But what does it mean by dancing?
Oh, that's a separate question. What's called dancing? I don't know. I can't tell you that.
So does it change based
on society? It's walking in society or Mistama. Yeah, probably. I mean, do you have to juggle fire to be Yotze? Do you have to do some hat dance or something, the burning hat dance or
what? Burning? Oh, that's a good one.
You never saw that when they put lighter fluid on the hat and they light the hat. You never saw that? You gotta get out more.
On like a black hat.
Yeah, never saw that.
No, I've never seen that. Those hats are so expensive though.
No, they use an older hat. They don't use the good hats.
Yeah.
You seen that, Yona? You seen that
one? No, but YouTube.
But I'm we'll sure. Oh, that's right. Check it out on YouTube.
I don't know. We'll check it out.
I mean,
it makes for excitement, especially when there are a lot of people standing around and the guy's hat's flopping all over the place.
I mean, I had a relative on the juggle fire.
Yeah, they put it on their head.
Yeah, no, I've seen juggling fire.
Yeah, I had a.
No, this they wear it while the flames are coming.
Like all these kind of funny hats.
It doesn't burn for some reason. I can't tell exactly how it works, but if it's done properly, it doesn't actually burn.
Right, because they pour water on first.
I don't know how they do it.
They soak the hat.
Like in camp, I knew this guy used to put Vaseline on his hand, and then light it. And it doesn't actually burn your hand. I guess it just lights on the outside. I don't know.
If you put your hand in water and then you put your hand in oil.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I'm not trying any of these things.
If you light your hand on fire, it's fine. It doesn't.
It's fine. It's excellent.
I don't think there was the oil in the water.
They don't slide off.
All right. There are ways to do it. You could speak to people that do it. We'll get some feedback from YouTube. Okay. We'll stop here. We'll continue Blinetta tomorrow. Okay. No, Zach's out.